Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
McWilliams Cyberline, 844 Radio US, 844 Radio US. Okay, got Bob back in here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this whole Google thing.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, as I was...
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were talking about the ratings going down, and you're right, it's things that they've got to cover this stuff, but when it comes down to it, they upset a lot of people on this thing.
Gee, you think?
And, yeah, they did. and then they did, as we were going out, where'd that article go? They were talking about over at CNBC. Who was it? Where is he? Well, someone over at CNBC, they were talking about, Maggie Fitzgerald. She was talking about Robinhood raised $1 billion overnight from investors to shore up its balance sheet as the brokerage app was set to ease restrictions in the trading of certain volatile stocks, according to CNBC's right. Andrew Ross Sorkin.
Now, I can understand if they restricted them and didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But they had to restrict them long enough to say, okay, guys, got to take a breath. We got to go over here and put the fire out. And that's what they were doing. They were raising capital to boost the margin and everything else to cover all of this stuff. And they got upset because, I can't trade my stock. Well, you could still sell it off. I mean, you made profit. Come on. You didn't lose anything. You made a boatload of profit. And you still had the right to change it, close your positions, get out, take the money and run.
Right.
And that would have been fine. One of the things I've noticed up until this time. Go ahead.
But what they did was they stopped you from buying. I don't believe they stopped you from selling.
No, they did not.
So that's kind of, again, that's kind of saying, it seems like it would be okay if you stopped all selling. But if they're going to stop buying only, that means that the people that wanted to get in can't get in. And that, they're preventing them from making the stock more valuable.
Funny thing that you bring that up. There was a couple years ago where something happened on the stock exchange. There's things that happen, what we call a fat finger trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and somebody will be punching in the keys, and the fat finger hits a different key, and all hell breaks loose. And the stock can plummet 1,000 points, whatever. Well, something happened where there was a whole bunch of orders went in, and there were stocks that were like $29 a share, suddenly went down to $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I think Adobe, really top stocks. And people started going, hey, I want that. And they went in and bought tons of it. Well, before they figured out what had happened, everybody's holding on to the stock. And they go, hey, I got my stock. And they're expecting it to go up. Well, they found out it was an error, so they halted trading. Closed the whole floor for something like, I think it was an hour or 2 hours. So they had to go and investigate, found what happened. So they cleared out all of those shares at that price out of everybody's accounts. And somewhere along the way, it was a glitch in the software that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fixed it. And then, of course, everybody came back. Of course, those guys didn't have their stock. And it's like, well, if you want it, now you can get it. But it's at the regular price. of whatever it showed that it was at. And they're like, it blows, you know. And that's happened too. So they have, and of course, I forget how many triggers was GameStop? Because, you know, the market, when it goes down at a certain percentage or whatever, it starts setting off triggers on the stock. It halts trading. And I lost count at 7. And I think that was Tuesday or Wednesday.
Wow.
It kept going down, boom, stop trading. Okay, all right, stop. All right, yeah, let it go. And then a little bit more, boom, trader, stop, you know. And just kept doing this. And I have a picture somewhere. It shows all the date and time stamps of all the times they halted trading on it. It was so bad. And I think the same thing happened to AMC, but not as much.
Right. Well, I mean, the stock is so volatile. I mean, looking right now, it's at $325 tonight. And you know, if you're listening to this on a recording, you better check the prices yourself.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing when you look at it, it's called float. And if you have a float, I was talking to Doc about this. If you have a like a 0.08, that's good. That means there's some margin there. But when you've got it margined at 147%, that means there is no other stock. There's only the stock that's in the market, and they're actually getting credit for stock that technically does not exist at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that problem was, is like you've put all this out, and then as they squish and squish and squish, I told Charlie, I says, you know, it's like a submarine. You're chasing a submarine down to its crush depth. And they had a better crush depth because they weren't on credit, they were on cash. And that margin hurt them. And then when it got to that crush depth, boom, it imploded and just blew a hole out of their side. And then they went back up laughing all the way to the bank, basically. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's been bothering me, and this is before all of this happened, Robinhood came out, and I have a lot of people I admire on CNBC. They know their stuff. They're great. They're wonderful. Watch them all the time. And they'll make snide comments about Robinhood traders. And they'll go, well, you know, we expect to do this. If you want to get in, is how to do that. But, you know, if you're a Robinhood trader, well, you'll go do this or not even listen to us anyway. And they're always smacking the Robinhood traders.
It doesn't sound very nice.
No, it doesn't. And I get a little miffed by that. And I don't, first off, I don't have Robinhood. I don't do Robinhood. I'm on a regular trading site. And I've looked at Robinhood a couple of times. I'm like, nah, I got this over here and I got all the tools and goodies and stuff that I can do so much more with. And I was hearing them, all of them. Then this happened. And then they started smacking on the traders. And it's so funny that the people that they talk about, the 1% corporate greed, this and that, and hedge funds. And you would think the Democrats would be, you know, cheering. Hey, these guys imploded a hedge fund. Woohoo! Because, you know, that's how they think.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
What?
They're coming to the aid of the hedge funds. They want to change the rules. So, because the hedge funds got their nose bloodied.
Right.
And I find that hilarious. And Doc had asked me, I said, I don't understand that. I said, well, I understand why it is. It's because, one, they pay into their pockets for getting legislation passed. They have lobbyists.
Yeah.
And they pay them more money. And yep. He's like, well, why is CNBC on them for? I said, well, the hedge funds advertise on the financial networks to get people to come put their money in the hedge fund. I mean, it's simple, simple money here.
Yep.
So
it's always there's a thumb on the scale everywhere.
Right. But what I love about this, first off, a lot of people ask me, you know, is shorting bad? And I said, no, it's perfectly legal. And give you a point. Let's say, Bob, you had shares of Ford. Lot of shares, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, you bought them low and you're watching them go up.
Sure.
And eventually you're going to sell them high. Well, with the pandemic, if you look at Ford or maybe you had Carnival, you know, anything in travel, whether it be airlines, cruise ships, whatever, take your pick. You're doing the same thing. But then these things crater. You know, what was it, $60, $70 AMC was, and it got down to $2 after the pandemic hit. And if somebody had that, I mean, they lost some money. Well, with shorting, you can use that as insurance. So if you've got a stock going down, you can turn around and say, okay, I want to short that stock from here and ride down with it. Now, even though you're losing money on it because you were expecting your stock to go up, your options trade is going down along with the loss and is making you money. So eventually you get to a point, you sell out of it. Whatever you lost on the other side, you could actually level it out to where it's even or made a profit above it. And that's perfectly legal. Now, shorting, squeeze shorting and all of this, again, perfectly legal. But they asked me, well, what do you think? And I said, well, it is legal. But the question is, Is it ethical? I mean, you took a stock of 140% of 147% float that you put down on a stock and squeezed it. I'm leaving the ethics to people. I'm not going to be ethical about it. It's like, it's each of you have to decide for yourself whether it's ethical or not. Do I think it should be banned? Hell no. Because there are so many ways that a person can use it to protect their portfolio as well as be able to make profit. Now, I'm not saying you're going to make a huge raping profit like they did, but, you know, everything's economy of scale. Mitt Romney can do the same thing. Maybe he needs money for a boat.
Now, are you saying
he gets $10,000? I do the same thing. I make $1,000. Well, it doesn't look like much. Nancy would say it's nothing but crumbs, but you know what? It's $1,000 I didn't have 30 minutes ago.
Now, are you asking about the ethics of short selling in general,
yeah,
or are you just, yeah, okay.
I think it's perfectly fine,
yeah,
but, you know, when they start doing something like that, is it ethical?
Well, and then you've got right now, it's, you do have a lot of hedge funds that were getting into this stuff, and they go one way, and then all of a sudden a group of ragtag investors get out there that have never, you know, that doesn't seem like they've done this before. They all band together and go, oh, we're going to go the other way with it.
Well, and I think there's going to be a movie and a book deal out of this one.
Yeah, no doubt
so,
about that.
Going back to CNBC, was it Friday? It was Thursday because Charlie and I were talking. It was Thursday, and they had, after the bell, they had Elizabeth Warren on. And, of course, she's nothing but talking points. Well, we need a 2% wealth tax. Well, we need this. Well, we need that. These people are – corporate America is evil, blah, 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 blah. But what got me was we all know what happened, right? We know which side is who. So they asked her a question, and she says, well, those hedge funds were over there, and we're not concerned so much about them because we know what they do. But that other side, what were they? Who are they? Are they – other hedge fund people that competed with the hedge fund people over here that got squeezed, and then they were both able to make a profit? I about blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm looking at, you know, look at AP, look at CNN, look at MSNBC, Fox, Newsmax, whatever your flavor du jour is. It tells you right there. So I went and found her number in the Boston office. And due to COVID, no one's answering the phones, so you have to leave a message. And I left a very terse but polite message.
Due to COVID.
And I said this. I said, your people, whoever they are, need to hand this woman a newspaper because I don't think you can handle a tablet or a phone. But if you actually looked, you would find out who the other people were. They're not hedge funds. They're a bunch of ragtag people who learned how to trade on their own, band about 2.5 million accounts together, call themselves degenerates or whatever it is, and went out and blew out a hole in a hedge fund. That's what happened. Maybe, just maybe, you need to get your facts straight instead of going on about we need a 2% wealth tax, blah, 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 and everything else. But look on the bright side, Senator. That's a possible $16 million profit that they made from what I'm reading, and that's a boatload of money and a long capital gain at about 20%.
You know, I mean, I can hear the investigations now.
Yep.
And they'll look into the ethics. They'll look into the political background of these people. They'll look into, you know, how much did you contribute to my campaign? They won't say that part of it.
I got liberal friends in the media. They first off, they're saying, well, it's got to be a QAnon conspiracy because they're talking smack. They're anti-Semitic. Well, first off, you and I both been in Walmart bets, right? I mean, you've read the posts. I see nothing about QAnon.
Wall Street bet.
I'm sorry, Wall Street
You
bets.
Said Walmart bets. I'm like going,
Walmart, baby. What? Let's shirt Walmart. Yeah. Yeah, that'll screw me over big time because I got enough stock in it to float a boat. But anyway, there's nothing I've seen in there. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Sorry
anyway,
about that. But yeah, I've seen nothing in there about anti-Semitism. I haven't seen anything about QAnon. This is a bunch of guys that are upset. And you see some of the posts. One of them that caught my attention, and I posted to my little liberal friends, is there's a bunch of these guys that were young. And you remember the mortgage meltdown back in 2009?
Mm-hmm.
Watch the movie The Big Short, and you'll understand more. And there was sitting there as young children going, why are mommy and dad sad? Why do we have to move out of our house? Who is this person that they said is taking our house? They lived through all of that underwater mortgage crap that happened during the meltdown. They blame Wall Street for it. And their mantra is, we are taking it back. And what happened was, there's this one that his dad lost the house, lost a business. He ended up getting divorced from his mother and basically sits around and drinks, and he's a shell of his former self. And when he pulled the trigger and made the trade on GameStop after he saw everything, he put his trade together and he wrote this before he pulled the trade. And he said, Dad, this one's for you. And then signed it.
Hmm.
That was amazing and chilling at the same time. And that's what a lot of them are. You remember Occupy Wall Street was just 10 years ago. All these guys in pup tents out there, you know, doing political theater, singing songs and crap, monkeying around in front of the cameras for CNN and whatever. What did they do? Squat. And then here come the cops, bulldozed them all out. Well, these guys got smart. Now, here's something funny. Let's take these same guys, right? 2.5 million people. Let's turn them on Facebook and Twitter. But what they do is they buy the shares and they hold them. And then when the annual shareholder meeting comes along, they go to them and say, well, we want to put two people on the board. We want you to stop censoring people, this, that, and the other. And Zuckerberg and Dorsey laugh at them and go, oh, really? Well, my 2.5 million friends behind me with all your shares say otherwise. Now, granted, they're leftists. I don't see that happening. But imagine if they're conservatives or whatever, and everybody did the same thing they did and pulled shares together and got voting blocks. Everything I talked about in this stuff, I've been laughed at for the last 5 years. Guess what? They're not laughing anymore, and no. I was right. Wow. This is how you build a voting block. The only difference is you squeezed a hedge fund and you took them out and you made money. Make that go for greater good and squeeze Amazon, or get enough to get people on the boards of Facebook, Twitter, whatever is screwing around with free speech. I'm telling you, man, it can be done. And they proved it.
Well, don't think they're not going to be watched, though, now from the standpoint of the hedge funds are going to keep an eye on
that. They'll get more recruits. They've already proved it. Oh, by the way, their page went up to 6 million from 2.5. We'll be right back. William Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Host, 2020 at cyber-line.com. And I'm not going to tell you the rest till the next hour. Because I think my voice is getting shredded. I've been talking too much today. All right, Bob, so you've got what now? Hold on.
Anyway.
Sorry. Try it.
There we go. Much better.
Sorry.
So, article over at iProgrammer.info. It's written by Lucy Black. She talks about Genius Programmers Star in Game Show. The two-episode series, which debuted on Chinese streaming platforms last week, has been described as the first reality competition to focus on programmers. The show, sponsored by the Ant Group, an affiliate company of the Chinese Alibaba Group.
Yeah, Ant Group.
Yeah. It's called, well, I can't even pronounce the name. I don't know if I even want to try. No, I would just sound too bad even trying to pronounce the name of this show, which roughly translates to Burn Bright Genius Programmer. Genius Programmer, followed by, followed four teams engaged on a challenge akin to the hackathons. I don't know if you've ever heard of a hackathon, but they're kind of a deal where a bunch of programmers go and they get into a competition. But it follows like a hackathon that takes place on Kaggle and similar platforms. News on the show, it goes on, but the deal is, can you imagine doing this stuff? It's really a neat, it's kind of a fun concept. I just don't know how exciting something like this would be. It's, you do have programmers, they do get into it, trying to solve a problem. I don't know if you've ever talked with a programmer about solving a problem, but it's, the thing that motivates programmers in this regard is, if you ever want to know if someone's going to be a good programmer or not, my key the way I see it, ask them these word problems. You know, if a train leaves a station here and then they get to there, what time is it going to get there? Or what time are the two trains going to cross each other? All of those word problems, the word type math problems, if you've got to solve these things, that helps to know if you're in that mode of trying to solve the problems of a programmer would solve. Another one, good one, would be if you've ever heard of Einstein's riddle. You know, Mick, have you heard of that one?
No.
Oh, it's really neat. If you get a chance, it will take you, it took me about 25 minutes to solve it. I did pretty good on solving the riddle.
This isn't like Schrodinger's cat on crack or something, is
it? No. It's a riddle that Einstein wrote, and it's a, you know, if you go through the whole thing, it's got different colored houses. It's got people from different countries, and they're trying to figure out who lives in the house and all this different things in it. But Einstein wrote it. It's a very good problem to solve. It's a great problem to solve. If you ever have a half hour. Frankly, if you have a, you know, the family gets together during Thanksgiving and you really want to nerd out, just get everybody, write it out and see who can solve it first. And then once they solve it, tell them to keep it quiet. Don't tell everybody.
So if we were to go to DuckDuckGo, how would we search for this to find something to click on and look at it?
Well, Einstein's riddle. It's okay, out there. Very
DuckDuckGo,
well.
Einstein's riddle.
Yeah, Einstein's riddle. Search for it. You'll find it out there. There's plenty of places for it. Look for the one that just shows the, it's like 12 different sentences. And you have to, you sit there and you read through the sentences and you go, there's no way I can figure this out. There's no way that you can tell. And then finally it clicks. You go, oh, wait a minute. I've got to start with this one. And then it's like, this one says that I need to do this. You know, it's like the person that drinks the coffee is next to the greenhouse, you know, to the left of the greenhouse or something like that. It does all these different things. And the clues, once you start putting the clues together, you can eventually solve who's in the house, what they have, what color the house is.
I don't want to do this. I'll be an insomniac for the next 3 months.
Hey, you can do it. It's actually a fun, good riddle to solve. But this kind of a riddle is really helpful to I just see it as this is the way you find out good if it's a good program or not, if they're going to have an interest in programming.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see how this show's going to turn out. And, of course, if it's good, I'm sure the Americans will get the rights, create a U.S. version and mess it all up.
Well, the prize was 1 million yen, and which it translates to $154,000. So it was interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, beats not having anything in your pocket. All right, so a little local news, national news, and then we're going to talk about television and all sorts of stuff because Super Bowl is coming up. And until then, you're listening to McWilliams Cyberline on USA Radio Network.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.